That Carlton Footy Club taking over SEN today for only $99. Attend the remaining 9 Blues home matches at the MCG Docklands. Visit membership.carltonfc.com.au. They play North Melbourne this week, Terry.
Fascinating game.
Spoke to Nick Del Santo a bit about North yesterday, and he, you know, having been an insider at the Footy Club, Del had some really interesting stuff to say about, you know, where Brad Scott sits and where the list is and how
I was having a listen.
If you, these things are multifaceted. There's never one point that you come at when you're looking at any team in its evolution. You know, there's always multiple reasons about how they got where they are, whether they be good or bad, and there's multiple reasons and avenues about which way they're going to go forward and how best to get to where they want to go.
Yeah.
How are you? When you look at North Melbourne right now with a view to the next sort of 5 years, the next half of a generation of footy.
Yeah.
Are you fearful about what's going to how they're going to navigate their way through this?
Yeah, and I've publicly said that previously. 18 months ago, I got myself in a little bit of trouble with North fans because I said that I believe that they had the worst list.
I remember you saying
in the competition.
Yep.
Bar none was my wording. I've still got my reports there because I do like a list management report at the end of every year and at the start of every year, and still got the report here that said that. What was it based on? It was based on winning your next premiership. So I didn't pick them in the bottom four last year, even though I thought they had the worst list, because I was projecting to winning a flag or not winning a flag. And where I sit with them, I still, you know, you look at their best and fairest last year, you look at their spine, you know, you've got a ruckman that's over 30, you've got your best and fairest winner that's over 30, you've got your key defenders that are around that 30, yep, that 30 mark, you lost weight, yep, last year. So I think a lot of their spine and a lot of their better players are ageing players, and I don't think that those ageing players will be there when they have their next crack at winning one. And my problem with North is I can't see enough high-end quality, and there's reasons why, but yep, can't see enough high-end quality coming through to see when they're going to actually challenge for one. So, and look, I've said before, they've been stuck in a vortex.
Yeah.
And that's the word that I always use. They were ninth last year, and this is their run since 2010. And of course, they played in the two preliminary finals, but this is where they finished at the end, yep, of the home and away. So 9th, 15th, 8th, 8th, 6th, 10th, 8th, 9th, 9th. So you're stuck in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
like,
yep,
you're in a position. And I'm saying this as honourable as what I possibly can. They're honest.
Yeah.
Their honesty has actually cost them in some ways.
It's not a personal attack
at all.
No.
Because they give all that they've got most often, you know, they finish in that mid-range. They're never terrible.
Yeah.
But then they haven't had the quality there, and they haven't had the picks or the quality there to be able to actually catapult themselves up to really, really be a challenge. Now, I mean, North supporters would have gone to the two preliminary finals thinking that they're challengers. Me sitting on the outside, I never thought they were a challenger in either of those 2 years. The only time I think any of us thought that they were potentially a challenger was the year that they were 10-1.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you thought, wow, maybe there's something here, and then the back half of the year fell away.
Yeah.
But that's the only time, really, over the last 10 years that I've thought, gee, you know, we're looking at something reasonably special here. So I think they're in trouble. I do. I think they are in this rebuild mode. Now, you know, does some of these boys become the players, you know, the next generation of quality players? You know, can Davies Uniacke become a really high-ended pick? Does, you know, can Ahern become, you know, the player that they got him out of GWS to sort of see whether, you know, he had that potential to really grow in? We can't answer those questions, but when you just look at the list, look, I think within 3 years there's going to be holes left, right and centre.
So one of I ask this question to Dell, and it gets asked periodically about footy teams, and the proposition is you have to know where you're at. And if you don't get that wrong, at least, and I guess you're asking yourself internally that question a lot. I guess you're asking, my guess is that that's something that, I don't know what the timeline is, but let's take stock. How are we looking? How are we going? Where are we weak? Let's look forward. Let's talk contracts. Let's talk ages. Let's talk list pro, all that sort of stuff. Are we okay? Not for the here and now necessarily, but we've got to try and see what's coming. And I wonder whether North have got that wrong when they ask themselves that question periodically, again, through the last couple of years. I wonder whether they got it wrong last year. And you're not potting the players they brought in, but I wonder whether the players they did bring in last year were the right type, or whether that was the right direction for North to go down. Not for 2019's sake,
yeah,
but for 2023, 2024. Like, you look at what they've done, and we went through this in the draft, through their draft years, for about the last 9 years yesterday. They've had very few gilt-edged picks. They haven't traded players out to get high up into drafts. They've been more likely to trade picks away. They haven't heavily invested in first and second round. They've never had a year where they've decided to get five picks inside the first 25.
Yep.
They've just never operated like that, North.
Yep.
And often the drafts that they've had so far haven't necessarily been massive ticks.
No, and look, our intrepid producer out the back, just give us a list of 2015, 2016, 2017 comparisons between what North have done over those 3 years to what Geelong, who are now sitting on top, have done. And you look at some of the players that Geelong have been able to get into their side with not really high-ended picks, and then you have a look at North, and North are just not coming through anywhere near like what. I mean, you're talking Geelong, Tim Kelly at 24, Charlie Constable 36, Ryan Myers at 57, Brandon Parford at 26, which is not a really early pick, Tom Stewart at 40, Sava Radigalia at 43. I mean, there's some massive picks.
Unbelievable wins.
Sam Menegola at 66.
Yep.
You know, that's, I mean, you pick up those, and what does that add to your side, let alone the ones that are higher up the list? But, when you look at North, they just haven't been able to get them through and have any of those diamonds in the rough.
Look, we had a chat about this yesterday. I didn't have the chance to take any calls. If you are a North Melbourne supporter and you want to make a point one way or the other about the not where you're at right now necessarily.
Because it doesn't mean, like, North could very well beat Carlton on the weekend, but that doesn't mean where they'll be in 2 years' time or 3 years' time.
1-300-736-736. You've been listening to people talk about your footy club and you want to have a say about it one way or the other. The lines are open for a couple of minutes on the other side of this ad break. Feel free to use them. Before we get to more calls about North, Terry, and a whole lot of other stuff, Joe, about the hypothetical potential difference.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's hard to say what part. Like, I think Gal sort of said it right. He sort of said he was speaking to a coach. Well, we knew that was Ross Lyon.
But
you got to have good players.
Yeah.
I mean, the late Alan Jeans used to always say to the board, you give me good players and I'll give you results. But don't think it's going to happen the other way around. You know? Yep. So you've got to have the right cattle on the park to be able to get the job done first up. So that's one part of it. So North Melbourne, have they got the right cattle on the park? I don't think so. Right? That's my gut feeling, and I think that's going to get worse before it gets better. Mm. So that's why I think that there's a problem or an issue around them. Would a Nathan Buckley come, if he'd come over, would that change things very much? How do you know? Mm. I mean, who does he bring with him? What are the issues at North? To me, like, from the outside, it appears that recruiting hasn't been sensational. Like, being stuck in the vortex is one part of it, because you're not getting the high-end picks, and that's one part of the issue. But recruiting and development, which part is more to blame? Well, unless you're there, I mean, the recruiters will sort of say, these blokes were good players and we haven't developed them into what they could have become, where the other way around, someone else will be sort of saying, well, no, you just picked the wrong ones. Have a look what Geelong's picked, have a look what you picked, and you've just picked the wrong ones. I don't think it's as simple either or. I think it's usually a combination of both is normally. You know, You pick the right one, he comes in, you've got a really strong development slash game structure that you play, and so that player flourishes in that environment. To me, I think it's all part of it.
Oh, yep.
You can't tell me that Geelong can pick up Park players from out of the Geelong local leagues and they become stars in this competition if their system's not absolutely spot on.
Well, there's a whole there's so many factors that are part of that system too, you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So, look, it's a complicated, it's not a simple solution.
No.
Otherwise, everyone would be doing it.
Phil's on the road. Let's whip through a bunch of calls. Phil, good afternoon. Welcome to the show, mate.
Hey, g'day, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Excellent. Now, I think with North over the last 5 years, I was just studying some of the recruits we've had. We've had a couple of hits, but we've had a hell of a lot of misses. I mean, look, if I look back in the last 5 years, from 2014 to today, some really good hits. We have Ben Brown, Luke McDonald, Taylor Garner, obviously Shawnee Higgins. And if you go further down, you've got Luke Davies Uniacke. I think Paul Ahern will be cementing a spot shortly, and then Nick Larkey is a talent to come through the ranks at the moment. But when I look back, and these are some names that, you know, they have big raps on them, and they were hoping they'll come through, but they haven't. Look, Daniel Curry, we had Joel Tippett, Max Warren. I mean, the names go on, like Corey Wagner, Ryan Clark, who's now at Sydney. You've got Hibbard. And the names just go on and
so
on.
So it's now, the players. Is it the you're putting it down to the players that have come through, are you, Phil? Is that what it's? Is you're saying it's a recruiting issue?
I'm saying it's a recruiting issue. Yeah. Now, I don't look at North back in the 90s, back in the 70s with the recruitment, but I know it was a different era, different people up there at that time. But Phil Stipper, he used to get it pretty much spot on. Yeah, he used to go out there and he used to identify the talent.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely magnificent. Terry, I think you would agree with that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Neville Stibbard was a fantastic recruiter for the footy club for a long time. There's no doubt whatsoever about that, as was Greg Miller for a long period of time at that football club. Why I would agree with you is that I think there would be a fair argument that over the last 6 to 8 years that players who have come from other clubs, it's not so much standing up this year, but players who have come from other clubs seem to have played their best footy when they've got under Brad Scott and got to North Melbourne. So therefore, shouldn't it be that if that's the case, if they come from other clubs and they can play their best footy there, shouldn't that mean that if you got picked the right players through the draft, they should play really good footy there? So I'm sitting there going, well, to me, the development or their ability to get blokes to play their best has been okay for the senior boys, but I think it says that they haven't been picking the right blokes. And that's the only way I could look at it, because I can't understand why Higgins and why Waite and guys like that, you know, Jacobs would come there and play their best football. I would have thought if you picked the right kids, that would have work with them as well. So I'm thinking it's a recruiting issue over a period of time. I am giving them, the recruiters, a touch of slack because of the fact that they're in that vortex.
Yep.
So they're not they're not getting great picks at any stage. But, it's a concern. And the last caller sort of spoke about some of those players. We don't know.
Well, that's
I mean, Larkey might be you know, a real promising player for the future for them, but at the moment we only go on what we've seen. You know, one good game, 3 goals, but and so I know he played at VFL. Yeah. I know he played at VFL and was the leading goal kicker at VFL. I understand all that sort of stuff, but at the moment we don't know. We don't know whether Ahern is going to become the player you want him to become. We don't know whether Davies Uniacke is going to be a star or not become a star. Yeah. I mean, what we've seen at the moment, jury's still out on whether it's going to take that absolute huge step. So there's just still some questions there.
Johnny's in Carnegie. Thanks for your call, Phil. Good afternoon, John.
G'day, fellas. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Look, I think I'm the other way. I think it's development, because a lot of people have said that a lot of the recruits that we had, a lot of them did play their best football under Brad. I think it's development, and I'll tell you why. Since the Brad era began, 60 boys have walked into North Melbourne, whether it's draftees or rookies, let's say about 60 of them, right? Of those 60, I've analysed this, only Ben Cunnington and Ben Brown has become good footballers. No one has improved. Like Luke McDonald, for example, right? He's everyone's dreaming boy at North. It's very unfortunate because he's a father-son. We all love him. We all want him to do well. But he hasn't progressed for a number 8 pick under father-son. We overlooked Patrick Cripps with this guy, for God's sakes. And he's only a plotter who turns it around all the time. It's development, guys.
Sean Attlee's... I think, Sean, you can throw Sean Attlee into that mix. He arrived the first year that Brad was there, so...
Has he become... I mean, they've had to throw him from back to forward and back again. I don't know whether he's become the player...
That he should have?
Yeah.
Okay, no, fair enough.
He was a star in the under-18s.
No, fair enough. Fair call.
Absolute star in the under-18s.
No, fair call.
I think he's had an adequate career.
Okay, no worries. Johnny's in South Australia. Whip through a couple more on North. Good afternoon to you, John.
Hi, Andy and Terry. Thanks for taking me call.
No, no, no.
I think they're recruiting and, you know, there's a guy, the manager of football, like Jeff Walsh. He was at North and he went back to Collingwood. Neil Baum and those type blokes. You know, they've done well where they've been. And I was gobsmacked when they recruited Polak, because paying an outside run player $800,000 a year. Terry, you wouldn't have done that when you're coaching, mate. You don't buy those. Those players are very, very easy to get, outside run players. You're going to pay $800,000. You want someone who's going to put the head over the ball.
Thanks, Johnny. Johnny, look, what they believed they had was a group of blokes that would put their head over the ball, and what they thought that they were lacking or missing, you know, from the time that Boomer Harvey left and others, but they thought that they needed that outside run. I am with you that I'm not sure whether I'm paying $800,000 for somebody that's got to have the ball fed to him. Polak is that, and he does a good job of that, but that's what he is. I mean, he's the second receive player, you know, that then distributes. So that's exactly what he is. But the issue is that they didn't get one. They got about four of them. And what seems to have happened was that they went and got four of them, and I don't know whether it becomes then a mindset, but other players ended up becoming more outside. You look at their numbers, that some of their blokes who have actually gone and won their own ball are now more on the receiving end than what they are on the winning end. So they got four, and they've ended up turning the four into about 8.
Yeah. Last one, I think you want to... Thanks, John. Marks in Greenville might want to actually change the subject. Same subject, but maybe different focus. G'day, Mark. How you going, mate?
Good, guys. How you going?
Good, thank you.
Good, Mark.
Look, I'm a very frustrated Swan fan, and the reason why I'm frustrated is the rotations that I've seen from the Swans out the door are players that I have not been happy to see go, whether that's been Tom Mitchell, whether that's been Newman, whether that's been Rowan, who's excelling at Geelong because he's being played the way he should be played.
Would you put Mumford in that
Sorry,
lot?
Sorry, Terry.
I just said, would you put Mumford in that lot?
I would. I would even go back as far and talk about players like Dempster and Schneider, which I was devastated when they left the Swans because I could see their potential. And the players that I see them retaining, like Toby Pink, who I haven't seen a lot of, I've seen players at the Swans that they've retained that I do not think they're actually senior players. Don't understand the recruiting strategy. I know that they've had some success, but I think to myself, from about 2012, if they had not gotten great players from the academy, the Swans drop would have been far earlier.
Mark, this goes right back to something that I reckon we started about. You've got to know where you're at, I reckon, and you've got to make the right decisions according to that. Now, we'll wait and see what happens to Sydney.
I think so much of this is about money. So they've had to release certain players from a cap point of view. Once Buddy come into that club, there was always going to be, and he's talking about, you know, gee, that player wasn't as good as this one. Well, hang on. Go and do your super coach team. You've got a budget you can only spend. You'd love to have all the best players running around, but that's not the case. So you're going to have somebody that's on a lower amount, and you're going to have to dish somebody out that's on a higher amount. So that's just the nature of the competition we're in.
AGN open line, love winter, love cheaper, greener, more reliable natural gas. Search Australian Gas Networks to find out more. The Kangas are under pressure. Peelers products, market leaders for air compressors. Peelers products, we are air compressors, air tools, drilling machines, peelersproducts.com.au.
Well, see how they go in footy golf.
Let's see, when they're under pressure, they generally find. I reckon they'll find something on Sunday. We'll wait and see. Footy golf, the plough low, maybe one or two other little bits and pieces on the other side of this with Terry Wallace.
At 16, listen to the crowd.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
Yeah! Lambert with a setup kick for Riebold! This is it!
Oh, wow! In your life have you seen anything like that?
Fontapelli, the future star, the present star, steady!
Oh! Right, time for the weekly examination through the prism of footy golf, Terry.
Just remember, because people on social media all the time go, how come my team's on this score rather than that score? Surely they've been better than that. In a game of golf, if you bugger up a hole, it takes a lot of recovering from really messing up a hole. So if you are consistent and then have your one or two good performances, but you don't have that shocker, you are going to be rewarded.
Yep.
In golf for that, and that's what you've got to remember, that's footy golf.
And if I may, always bear in mind that the performances are assessed alongside your expectation placed on those teams going into those contests.
Correct, absolutely.
Okay. So bear that in mind.
So bearing that in mind, we go all the way back to what night?
Wednesday night,
Richmond and Melbourne. Richmond got it done quite convincingly, nicely, apart from the first quarter, a birdie performance for them. Melbourne kicked two goals in three quarters. I know you can spin it any way you like. No. They said they improved, but it was only two goals in three quarters, so a double bogey for the Demons. Not going well, the Ds. Essendon and Collingwood, par. If I could give you votes for the game, I would be giving you both albatrosses because I love the game. I thought it was a fantastic game of footy. And I thought both teams got a win out of it in regards to it going forward. But par football, it was about how it played out. Port Adelaide and North, par.
Okay, fair enough.
I think that was about the scoreline. I don't worry about who kicked the last five goals in the game. I think North might have dodged a bullet for the fact that they did get the run on late in the game and come back. But if you went over there, you were thinking that Port Adelaide had beat them and they beat them by around that margin. So par. Gold Coast, disappointing at home. Double bogey for them and a birdie for Brisbane Lions. Had to get back on board, did what they needed to do, so a birdie for them. St Kilda and Adelaide's next up game. Double bogey for St Kilda. Pick St Kilda.
Okay, yep.
I thought it was on their home dung heap. Thought that they could actually get the job done. And I thought in the end they were pretty disappointing.
Last quarter,
I've ended up giving Adelaide an eagle because of the fact that I didn't think I'd seen them 2 weeks earlier at Marvel Stadium and they were awful.
That's shocking.
So the turnaround was a nice, strong turnaround from Adelaide. So I gave them an eagle for their performance. Sydney and GWS. I was up in Sydney on Saturday night. They're battling, really battling. A double bogey for them. GWS, nice solid victory. A birdie for GWS. Fremantle and the Bulldogs. Watch that. When was that? Sunday night when I got home. Fremantle a par. Bulldogs a par. I thought that's about how...
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
I thought that was about how the game would play out. Yep. So Doggies took it up to them, weren't quite good enough to get over the line. I think I had a 20-point margin between the two sides, so it was about what I expected. Hawthorn and Carlton, a par for Hawthorn. One, got what they had to get done, and a par for Carlton. I expected Hawthorn to win. Carlton took it up to them, so they get a par result for their efforts. And the last game, which I watched yesterday morning, was the Geelong West Coast game. A birdie for Geelong, really solid performance. I picked Geelong, so that's why I'm going with a birdie, not an eagle, for the Cats. That a double bogey for the West Coast Eagles. I don't know whether I spoke to you. We travelled. Geelong had no players that had less than 10 touches for the game.
It's very uncommon. Yeah, really uncommon. Yeah.
Not one player. West Coast had half their team. 11 players had 10 or less.
That is telling.
11 players. Telling. So double bogey. So
leaderboard,
Geelong leading at 5 under. Fremantle and Port Adelaide 3 under. Collingwood, GWS and St Kilda 2 under. Surprise packet is at 1 under. Richmond, Carlton and Brisbane.
I like the sound of that.
16 behind the lead. Geelong leading at 5 under. It is Melbourne at plus 11.
They're a million miles away. We're going to have to hold the plough low till Thursday.
We can do that.
Clear our last break. Come back. Wrap up the hour after this. Terry Wallace, been in for the last hour. Heaps of stuff to get through. We'll do the plough low votes on Thursday when he joins. Anything you want to leave us with?
Yeah, I'm just really interested. Should our rules be for the players to make the game easier for the players, or should the rules be for the supporter so that you understand what is going on when you're watching the game? I feel that we need to engage more with the supporters.
Is it possible that you could achieve both?
I think you can simplify the game so it's easier to watch.
Hey, that's a very interesting concept. Can we have a chat about that on Thursday?
Absolutely.
We'll table that on Thursday.
Good on, Andy.
Good on you, mate.
Go to Australia next week.
Who knows what it's got in store for us.